This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu an is one of the greatest and most illustrious companions of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A companion from the companions of the Ansar. He is one of the most well-known, one of the most famous of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has a number of virtues that are mentioned in the Sunnah. From amongst the virtues of this illustrious companion radiyallahu an is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disclosed to him and him alone the name of all of the companions, the name of all of the hypocrites in Medina. From all of the companions, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose him and he informed him that these are the people who are hypocrites in Medina. He was therefore known as Sahib al-Sir, the companion who had the secrets of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was for this reason that after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar radiallahu anhu came to him and he asked him, I ask you, Hudhayfa, by Allah, was my name mentioned amongst that list of names that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to you? Did he consider me to be one of those hypocrites? And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu replied and he said, no, but I will never tell anyone after you. This was a secret that was disclosed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why there's even narrations that afterwards, when Umar radiallahu anhu during his khilafah, when he would say to Hudhayfa, that in my inner circle, my advisors, my governors, is there anyone that you know to be a hypocrite? Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu would say yes, but he wouldn't name them. If he knew that someone had hypocrisy, he was one of those people mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say yes, but he wouldn't disclose the name, because this was a secret given to him by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From amongst the virtues of this illustrious companion radiallahu anhu is that on the Battle of Ahzab, the battle that took place where the Confederates came and they surrounded Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said one night, who from amongst you, addressing his companions, who from amongst you will go out and find news of the Quraysh, of what they're doing, what they're planning? He asked the companions and he said, whoever does this will have my companionship on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He will be my companion on the Day of Judgment. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, no one answered. No one spoke. So a second time the Prophet ﷺ said, who will bring me news of the enemy and in return he will have my companionship on Yawm al-Qiyamah. But again no one spoke. A third time he asked, again and again no one responded. On the fourth time the Prophet ﷺ said, O Hudhayfa, go and bring me news. He pinpointed him, O Hudhayfa, go and bring me news. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, I went and I walked as if I was a bird, meaning lightly, secretively. And I saw what I saw from the people of Quraysh and Abu Sufyan, and I came back and I told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a virtue from the virtues of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. But this illustrious companion, amongst the many virtues that he has and that he is known for, perhaps the most famous is that he was a specialist in fitan, in trials and tribulations. From amongst all of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And in fact, even today, many of the narrations that we have from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the issue of trials that this ummah will face, it is narrated by this illustrious companion radiyallahu an. He was known for being a specialist in this field. He was someone who was preoccupied with this issue because he was afraid that it would affect him. He was afraid that he would have to confront these types of issues. And that is why Umar radiyallahu an, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day said to the companions who were sitting around him, "Who from amongst you will narrate to me the hadith of the fitna, of the trials?" So Hudhayfa radiyallahu an said that it is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fitnatu rajulu fi malihi wa ahlihi wa waladi." From the trials that we face as Muslims, from the trials of the people, is the trials that they have in their wealth, and that they have in their family, and that they have in their children. And that which expiates these types of trials is your salah and your sadaqah, and to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Umar radiallahu anhu said, "It is not this fitna that I was referring to, O Hudhayfa, but it is the fitna that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wasallam concerning it, that it will crash upon us like a wave. It will come upon us like a tidal wave." Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, "O Umar, why are you preoccupied with this? For there is between you and that trial a door, a gate that is locked. It will never open. For you, it is not an issue that you have to deal with. For those who come after you, it will be an issue." So Umar radiallahu anhu said, "This gate, will it be broken or will it be opened?" Hudhayfa said, "Rather it will be broken." He's narrating to him the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. "Rather it will be broken." So he replied and he said, Umar said, "Therefore, if it is broken, never again will it be sealed. Never again will it be locked. An open door you can close. A broken door will never again be sealed." So Umar radiallahu an left. The companions around Hudhayfa, they said, "Oh Hudhayfa, why didn't Umar radiallahu an ask you concerning the door? Did he know the meaning of this gate, this door?" He said, "Yes, he knew the meaning of the gate, just as one of us knows for certainty that after night, there is day." They said, "So what does it refer to?" He said, "It refers to Umar radiallahu anhu himself. The gate is Umar, meaning after his death, it will be broken and the fitan will begin to come upon this ummah." This companion radiallahu anhu, he says concerning himself in the hadith that is in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, "كان الناس يسألون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الخير وكنت أسأله عن الشر مخافة أن يدركني." The companions, the people, they would ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam concerning the good. And I would ask him concerning the evil out of fear that he would confront me. This was a companion who lived in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the best of generations. During the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the companionship of the likes of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum and many other virtuous companions. All of the hadith of fitan, they speak about these trials that will come upon this ummah, but they all come after, or most of them come after the generation of the companions radiallahu anhum. Yet still, even despite him living in that age of piety, living in that age where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is alive and he is advising them and guiding them, still he would be extremely afraid, frightened for himself, for his religion, when these trials would come and they may or may not strike him. And this is an important point because today we live in one of those eras of trials. We live in a time when there are many problems and difficulties that we're facing, whether as individuals or communities or as a Muslim ummah in its totality. We're living in a time of fitna, a time of trials. Yet for the vast majority of us, we're heedless and neglectful when it comes to this issue. We don't really study it, we don't really look into it, we don't research it. We don't see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an concerning trials. And the word fitna in the Qur'an is mentioned many, many times. Nor do we study or analyze the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he speaks about fitna and the trials that will come, the trials that this ummah will face. Yet the companions, for some of them, this was one of the most important issues. Because in times of ease and felicity, in times of goodness and hope, it is easy to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it is easier to worship Allah because you're not being tried or tested in your faith. It is when those trials come upon you, whether it is a trial that you're facing of a personal nature in your wealth, your family, your children, your parents, your siblings, your job, your health, or whether it's a trial that we as Muslim community face, like the trials that we're facing in our current time, when it's difficult to distinguish between right and wrong, falsehood and truth, when it is difficult to distinguish between those people who are truthful and those people who are lying. And that in and of itself is a trial that the Prophet ﷺ warned us of. That a time would come when the one who is truthful would be considered a liar. And the one who is a liar would be considered to be truthful. And the one who is trustworthy is considered to be treacherous. And the one who is treacherous is considered to be worthy. It's from the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah, it is a fitna. But despite living in those times, we're heedless of this issue. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was a companion who in this regard we owe him a great debt. He has a great virtue, a great favor upon us. Because he from amongst the companions used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning this issue. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood that this was something that Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu grasped. So he would tell the Prophet, he would tell him what he needed to know. In this hadith that I narrated to you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, that I said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people ask you about good, but I would ask about evil out of fear that it would harm me. He says in this hadith that I said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna kunna fi jahiliyatin wa shar. O Messenger of Allah, we were in evil, we were in jahiliyyah, that's what we lived in. Faja'an Allahu bihadha al-khayr. Then Allah brought to us this good, meaning Islam, meaning the Quran, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَهَلْ بَعْدَ هَذَا الْخَيْرِ مِنْ شَرٍ. So will there be evil after this good? Will there be a time after this good that evil will come upon this ummah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and he said, نعم. Yes, a time will come when evil will follow this good. So Hudhayfa said, so then I asked, فَهَلْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ الْشَرِّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Is there after that evil another time of good? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نعم وفيه دخن. Yes, there is a time that will be good, but it will be embellished. فَقُلْتُ وَمَا دَخْنُهُ. So I asked him, what is this embellishment in this time of good? So he replied and he said, قَوْمٌ يَهَدُونَ بِغَيْرِ هَدِي تَعْرِفُ مِنْهُمْ وَتُنْكِرُ. A group of people who will guide by other than my guidance. They will use other than my guidance to guide. Some of the things that you see from them you will approve of, and other things that you see from them you will disapprove of. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, فَهَلْ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ الْخَيْرِ مِنْ شَرٍ. So then will there come a time of evil after that time of good? قَالَ نَعَمْ دُعَاتٌ إِلَىٰ أَبْوَابِ جَهَنَّمْ مَنْ أَجَابَهُمْ إِلَيْهَا قَذَفُوهُ فِيهَا. He said yes, and this is the part of the hadith that I want us to concentrate upon. He said, yes, a time will come when there will be callers to the gates of hellfire. Whosoever responds to them, they will throw them into it. Whosoever responds to these callers, they will take them and they will throw them into the fire. قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صِفْهُمْ لَنَا. So I said, O Messenger of Allah, describe them to me. Who are these people? Because Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu is afraid. He's not just asking because he wants theoretical knowledge or abstract information. But he's asking because he's afraid that a time will come upon him or upon his children or grandchildren where they will have to live with this. They will have to face up to this. صِفْهُمْ لَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Describe these people to me, these callers to the gates of hellfire. قَالَ هُمْ مِنْ جِلْدَتِنَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِنَا. These are a group of people, these callers to the fire, they will be from us. What does that mean, they will be from us? Meaning that they are known as Muslims. We call them Muslims. We recognize them as being Muslim. يَتَكَلَّمُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِنَا. They will speak with our tongue. They will speak with terminologies that we are familiar with. Phrases that we understand. They will quote the Qur'an. They will quote a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They speak with our tongues. They are from amongst us. قُلْتُ فَمَا تَأْمُرُنِي إِنْ أَدْرَكَنِي ذَلِكَ. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, what do you command me to do if such a time were ever to come upon me? قَالَ تَلْزَمُ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَإِمَامَهُمْ. He said, then stay with the body of the Muslims, stay united with the Muslims if there is a single imam. If there is a Khalifa and the Muslims are united, stay with them. قُلْتُ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ جَمَاعَةٌ وَلَا إِمَامٌ. So what if, O Messenger of Allah, in that time there is no single body of Muslims, there is no single Imam? قَالَ تَعْتَزِلُ الْفِرَقُ كُلَّهَا وَلَوْ أَنْ تَعَضَّ بِأَصْلِ شَجَرَ حَتَّى يُدْرِكَكَ الْمَوْتُ وَأَنْتَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. He said, then stay away from all of those groups. Stay away from all of those groups. Don't respond to any of them. Even if it means that you must bite down onto the roots of a tree and let death come to you whilst that is your situation. This hadith in al-Bukhari and Muslim, this hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, has many, many benefits, many, many lessons. And if I was to even try to start dissecting this hadith from the beginning, it would take many khutbas for me to do. But I want to mention to you just two or three points that it is extremely important that we understand. The first of those points is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew and understood what this ummah would face. He knew, and thereby by extension and more befitting, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what would befall this ummah of trials and tribulations. And therefore, if they knew that this would happen, then the way to salvation and the path to overcome those trials, it is mentioned in the book of Allah and in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This isn't just something which happened to us, we had no information of, no news concerning, no one foretold us that this would take place. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew from the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to him. From amongst the benefits of this hadith is that a time will come when things will be so difficult for people to ascertain whether they are correct or incorrect, truth or falsehood, that you don't know that people who, even though they may call themselves Muslims, or they may even be considered to be people who have some level of knowledge, or people who you see them and you may even consider them to have some level of piety, they will be people from us. They will speak with our language, yet still they are from the callers to the gates of the fire. So what do you do in such times? Stay away from all of those groups. Preoccupy yourself with what will benefit you when you stand before Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment. When Allah Azza wa Jal will ask you about what you did. Not when He will ask you about anyone else or anything else. But first and foremost, Allah will ask you what you did with that which was in your means and capability. When we look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word fitna a number of times in the Quran when He discusses the major trials that afflict us. What are the major trials that come upon us as humans? There are a number of them, but there are two that I want to bring to your attention. Two that go hand in hand with this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated by Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. The first of them is following the footsteps of shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when He speaks about those people who follow shaitan, meaning that they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they disobey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they follow shaitan, they follow their own desires in following shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this fitna in the Quran. Allah azza wa jalla says, Ya bani Adam, la yaftinannakum ash-shaytan kama akhraja abawaykum min al-jannati yanzi'u 'anhuma libasahuma liyuriyahuma sawatihima. O children of Adam, don't let shaytan be a fitna for you. Don't let shaytan be a trial for you. Just as he expelled your forefathers, meaning Adam and his wife, from Jannah, just as he caused them to leave Jannah and descend to this earth. Don't let shaitan be a fitna for you. Why is shaitan a fitna? Because when we give shaitan precedence, when we follow shaitan, and that means when we disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, or we leave the commandments of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in and of itself is one of the major causes of fitna. And that is a fitna that most often deals with us as individuals, that will strike us in a personal sense. We will have problems with our families, with our wives, our husbands, our children, with our wealth and our health, with the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will normally place within those blessings that He has given to us and bestowed upon us. And that is why the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hadith of Jabir radiallahu an in Sahih Muslim, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَضَعُ وَإِنَّ إِبْلِيسَ يَضَعُ عَرْشَهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. The throne of Iblis is upon the ocean. And every single morning, Iblis, he sends out his armies of devils, that they may go and cause problems. The Prophet ﷺ said, describing these armies of devils that he sends out, فَأَدْنَاهُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَنْزِلَةً أَعْظَمُهُمْ فِتْنَةً. Those from amongst his armies, those soldiers of his, that are closest to Iblis, meaning that he honors the most, are those who can cause the greatest fitna. That is what the Prophet ﷺ said. And then he expanded upon this. Then in the evening when they come back, Iblis asks them, what did you do? So one of them says that I caused so-and-so to steal. The other one says that I caused so-and-so to murder. The other one says that I caused so-and-so to do A, B, and C. And all of them, Shaitan or Iblis says to them, you did well. But that's all. Until one of them comes and he says to him that today I caused a husband and wife to split. Husband and wife, I destroyed their marriage. To him, he says, you come close to me. You sit next to me. And he will honor that one. Why? Because his actions cause the greatest fitna. It is the greatest trial. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they warn us against this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Beware, be cautious of those who oppose the commandments of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they will strike them a fitna or they will strike them a painful punishment. They will strike them a fitna, because when you oppose the commandments of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are upon dangerous territory, dangerous ground, until and unless you return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making tawbah. Until you return, unless you return to the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laid out before us. The second use of the word fitna in the Quran that Allah azza wa jal brings to our attention to show to us the importance of this issue and how dangerous it is. It is when people follow the mutashabih, those things which are unclear about our religion, those things that you need to study Islam, you need to become a scholar, you need to seek knowledge to understand them and place them in their correct place in this religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the opening passage of Surah Ali Imran, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ. As for those who have some illness, some disease in their heart, then they will follow from the Quran the ambiguous, the unclear verses. Ibtigha al-fitna, because they seek fitna. That is what they want. Wabtigha ta'wili, because they want to give the Quran their own interpretation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that the Quran has clear verses. Verses that all of us as Muslims know and we understand. When Allah Azza wa Jal says to us, pray, and He orders us to fast, and He commands us to give zakah, and to perform hajj, and to be good to our families, and to our parents, and to our spouses, and to look after our children, and so on and so forth. These are clear verses of the Quran. But then there are other verses of the Quran that you need to study Islam in order to be able to understand. Verses like the verses of jihad. You can't just take one in isolation and go and implement it. You must understand the whole issue. You must understand the commandments of Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because to raise a weapon against any other person, it is from the gravest of sins in Islam if it is not done correctly. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us against these two things. Number one, following the footsteps of shaitan, that is a fitna for me and you personally. And number two, following the ambiguous. Why? Because that is a fitna for us as a community, for us as an ummah. Throughout the Quran, and I wish that I had more time, but throughout the Quran you will find many, many times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word fitna. And the word fitna in the Quran has over a dozen meanings. Over a dozen meanings in the Quran just for one word, the word fitna. All of this to show, as the scholars have mentioned in the Quran, that when Allah azza wa jal concentrates on a single issue and He repeats it over and over again, it is because it is extremely important for me and you to take notice of that issue. It is something which affects all of us, especially in this time that we live in and in this climate, and especially for the future of our children. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an wa sunnah, wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihima min al-ayati wal hikmah. Aqulu qawli hadha, wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum min jami'i al-muslimin min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu, innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Just as the Quran mentions to us the word fitna a number of times, the Quran also tells us in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the ways that we overcome this fitna and the means by which we gain salvation. There are many of them, but the two that I want to mention to you very quickly is number one, knowledge. And number two, your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any fitna that comes upon you, be that of a personal nature, or be that of a nature which affects all of us together as a community or as an ummah, every single trial that comes across, that you come across, these two means or these two ways are the path to salvation. Number one, knowledge, that you know and you're able to differentiate from what Allah wants and that which He doesn't want, what pleases Allah, what displeases Allah, what is allowed and what is not allowed. And number two, that knowledge should bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We take this from the hadith of the Dajjal. The Dajjal is something which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there won't be a fitna that is greater for this ummah from the time of Adam until Yawmul Qiyamah that is greater than the trial of the Dajjal. It is the greatest fitna. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his companions and he was explaining to them this issue of the Dajjal, and he went through a long narration mentioning to them many aspects of the Dajjal, when he will come, how long he will stay, and so on and so forth. From the things he said to them, that when he will come, he will stay upon earth for 40 days. One day will be the length of a year, one day the length of a month, one day the length of a week, and every other day will be like normal days. This hadith is a long hadith, and there are many other ahadith concerning the Dajjal. When you bring all of these ahadith together, you will find that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from one of the questions that they could have asked, from one of the questions that we often ask one another or to ourselves when we come across this issue of the Dajjal and these ahadith and narrations concerning the Dajjal, from one of those questions that a person could possibly ask, the companions only asked a single question. And that question to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not concerning how they should defeat the Dajjal. It wasn't concerning what weapons they need to build or what military tactics they should employ. It wasn't concerning any of those issues that would probably come to the forefront of our minds. But rather, the only question they asked to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was speaking about the length and the duration of the Dajjal's rule upon earth, they said to him, O Messenger of Allah, how do we pray on those days? How do we pray on those days? If a day is the length of a year, the day is the length of a month, the day is the length of a week, how do we pray? Do we pray just 5 times? Because the sun will only rise and set once on that day, the length of a year. Do we pray just 5 times? Or do we pray the prayer of a year, the prayer of a month, the prayer of a week? This was the single question that preoccupied them. This was what they understood, because the Prophet ﷺ was the one who educated and nurtured them. He taught them, they understood that this was their path to salvation, nothing else. It was their connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their worship of Allah azza wa jal, that would determine whether they would overcome these challenges or not. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and he said, rather estimate the times of the prayer. Meaning you pray the prayer of a year or a month or a week and you estimate the timings. This is how the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approached these issues, even though they lived in a time where the vast majority of them rarely had to come across a fitna, or the one or two fitnas that did occur, they were able to overcome them because of these two keys. Number one, their knowledge of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and number two, their ibadah, their obedience to Allah azza wa jal, their personal connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to leave you with this final message, that I want you all to go back to the Qur'an and look at this word fitna and how many times it occurs in the Qur'an and the different contexts in which it occurs within the Qur'an, and to contemplate and ponder over those meanings, because it is the time that we live in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as every other thing in our religion, Allah azza wa jal has given us the tools and the keys to overcome those challenges. They are there in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah, but it is for us to go and extract them, and extract those pearls and wisdoms and lessons. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He keeps us safe and our families, and that Allah azza wa jal keeps us steadfast upon this religion, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us and our families from shaitan and from all of his armies, and that Allah azza wa jal keeps us safe from doubts and from our desires, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from amongst those who, when death comes upon them, it will come whilst they are saying La ilaha illallah, and that Allah azza wa jalla resurrects us in the companionship, in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the righteous. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes easy for us our affairs, and that Allah azza wa jalla safeguards us and our communities, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguards our children and their children who will come after them, and that Allah azza wa jalla gives us the correct understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Straighten your rows. Make sure that the rows in front of you are complete. Don't leave any gaps. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم ملك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. والسماء ذات البروج واليوم الموعود وشاهد ومشهود قتل أصحاب الأخدود النار ذات الوقود إذ هم عليها قعود وهم على ما يفعلون بالمؤمنين شهود
وما نقموا منهم إلا أن يؤمنوا بالله العزيز الحميد الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء شهيد إن الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ذلك الفوز الكبير الله سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر الله الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم ملك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين إن بطش ربك لشديد إنه هو يبدئ ويعيد وهو الغفور الودود ذو العرش المجيد فعال لما يريد هل أتاك حديث الجنود فرعون وثمود بل الذين كفروا في تكذيب والله من ورائهم محيط بل هو قرآن مجيد في لوح محفوظ الله